Yeah, it's been a great. I feel like the weakest link. What a week, huh? It's been a good one. Been real good. We had a great week. Had great. We're working outside all week, so it was very good. I want to say too, thank you for the support with the kids. That is so cool. So even tonight, we've added at least 4 more so far. So the numbers are growing. So how cool is that? You know, everything you guys support here goes all around the world. You guys are part of that. You know that, right? When Randy was doing the flyover last week, we had technical issues. We apologize for Facebook for that. A lot of people kind of count on that. But he did the flyover on Brown Bag. I don't know if you guys saw that either. It was kind of an update on what we were talking about. And everything happens here. This is kind of headquarters, kind of like we were talking about last week. You guys are part of the bigger picture. You know that, right? So it's awesome that you guys support us as well as the giving that you do is amazing. And I know God provides because he always does. Because the more we give, the more we get. It's amazing. God is so good to all of us. Amen? Amen. Whew. Amen. So before we start, will you guys pray for me? And then I'll pray for you. And then we'll get started. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for the praise and honor and just everything that you provide, Lord God. I just pray that you speak to me tonight, Lord God, and I pray that you give us the ears to hear, Lord God. Holy Spirit, have your way tonight, Lord Jesus. So just pray that somebody gets a nugget tonight, and maybe it'll help them grow in their faith, God. So we just thank you again in your mighty name. Amen. So Randy mentioned we're starting a new series, so you want to grow, huh? And it's ironic. When we do these meditations and commandments, we never talk about what we're going to talk about. We have no idea what each person's going to say. And it's funny how God ties it all together. Every time, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. You were talking about praise. He's talking about reading the Word, study the Word. Huh? Guess what? You want to grow? You got to study God's Word. Amen? I'm done. No. I got nothing else to say after that. So, like, wow. So you want to grow. So I started thinking about this. Well, why do you want to grow? Most people are probably pretty comfortable where you're at, right? How's that going for you? You get in a rut when you don't grow. You get comfortable. You start daydreaming. You drift away from God. If you're not backfilling it, you're going to drift away. Even the Word tells you if you don't renew your mind, you're going to drift. I've said this 100 times, but when I was born again, I thought it would be easy. I'll just wake up and follow God every day of my life. Now it's cool. I got this. It's not like that. We're born to wander from God. You would seem like you would drift to God if you're a child of God, right? It's not. It takes effort, and it takes a lot of effort. That's why a lot of people don't want to do it. Takes effort. Takes effort to come here, right? Yeah. But it becomes routine. You don't even think about it. You're like, okay, it's getting time to go. You get in your car and you come out here. Because you've practiced it over and over and over. Just like reading God's Word. It's easier to divide. It's easier to learn when you practice it and you read it. You start learning about what's God's character. Why am I here? Stuff like that. You read God's Word and it speaks right to you. And this thing is a letter for us, the note that God's given us for every situation in our life. It's all in here. We just have to find it. It's really not that hard to find. All you have to do is look. So let me ask you, how many of you guys prayed today? I'd like to think everybody in here did. Have you read scripture today of any kind? Right on. Right on. And it helps, right? It gives you peace when you read it. It really does. It gives you joy and even praise. Listening to worship music. I love it. I rock on the way out here. It just gets me going. It's just like I need that worship music to get me going. I love praising God. So why grow? For one, you prepare for this life that we're living. We're on earth here, and it's hard, right? We face things, we face trials, we face storms in our life all the time. And you have to prepare for the storms that are coming, right? If you're not in a storm, prepare, because there's one coming. And that's just life. And it can be anything. It could be health. It could be loss of a loved one. It could be anything. Relationships breaking down, depression, whatever. We have to be prepared. So if you are studying, you are going to be a little more prepared. It's going to, I wouldn't say it's going to make it easy, but it's going to make it easier to handle the situation without completely freaking out, right? Because we know God's with us, right? So I'm kind of a weather geek. I've said it 100 times. I love watching the weather. I love nature. I love the power of nature, and I really love hurricanes. And I would love to experience one, maybe like a Category 1, you know, where... I could say I did it because I'd be scared to be in a 5, obviously, but and there's a 5 brewing right now, so I said just pray it doesn't hit the United States, because that'd be a doozy. But anyway, the last hurricane that came by, Idalia, created all kinds of havoc, right? And it was only like a 3. It was a 4 and downgraded to a 3, but it still caused all kinds of havoc. And and I love the Weather Channel because I watch it all the time. It's like my news channel. I'm just kind of a geek. I like, because they tell you everything, not only what's going on locally, but all around, all everywhere. All, even they tell us, even the tropics, all that stuff, all the time. Gives you updates, and you can see down the road what's coming, you know, stuff like that. but sometimes you see these guys, like they'll go down to Florida a couple days before, they'll say, okay, it's going to hit somewhere near Clearwater. So they're down there a couple days early, and it's beautiful. It's serene. There's still people. They'll be out there swimming in the water and all this stuff. And they'll interview people going, hey, you guys know that Idalia's coming, right? Oh, yeah, man, we got this. You know what hasn't hit our area? 80 years. We hear this all the time. Are you prepared? Yeah. I got a case of water. I'm prepared. Come on, man. If that thing hits you, you're probably going to die being dumb, right? So we have to heed the warnings when they tell you in advance. But guess what? Not always does that storm hit exactly where they say it is, but it hits somebody else nearby, right? Because it moves around. And storms in our lives are the same way. When you prepare for them, you need to be prepared even if they don't come, because there's no guarantee it won't come back. Or another one brewing, right? I just love those guys where they're just like, well, yeah, we're going down here and we're just going to watch it go by. Okay, good luck. You know, I remember a couple years ago, there was one coming towards, what's the town south of Houston? And the lady said, she lived in this town that was coming, huh? Galveston, maybe. I think she lived there, and she goes, well, I'm going to go up to my mom's house in Houston. We should be fine up there. Well, guess what? It turned and it hit Houston. And that, and it devastated that area. It flooded everything. I mean, they were not prepared. It was one of the bigger ones because they didn't think that it was going to hit there. We can't go through our Christian walk thinking it's going to be roses the whole time, because it is not. It is not. So another reason why to grow, I wrote a couple of these down, is we are to represent Christ here on earth, right? That's our ultimate goal, is to be a reflection of Christ here on earth. That's what the book tells us. To grow your faith, to mature your faith. And so you won't get stagnant in your Christian life. And that's easy to do, right? Anybody experience that? Where you're just going through the motions? And even when you're reading, sometimes you're just going through the motions more like a checklist instead of trying to learn something. You might want to mix it up. Read different times. Read a different translation. Whatever it takes for you to stay focused on God. Because this life is so distracting. You know, we talk about it all the time. We see all these things that coming at us all the time. They sound like fun. Even on the way out here, I think I saw 3 or 4 fall festivals. And go, oh, that's cool. Then you look on the banner and it says sponsored by Budweiser or something. So you know what that's all about. Not knocking them, but I'm just saying. Then you start thinking about it, going, wow, that'd be kind of fun. I'm like, yeah, I know better. Just don't. Better off. Although I can control myself now if I decided to. And I can go because I'm free to go if I wanted to. Amen? You can go to these things. It doesn't say you can't go. Just behave yourself, that's all. Watch your behavior. Remember, you're a representative of Christ. You're a child of God. So just watch what you do and watch what you say. And this isn't just lay a bunch of rules on you either. This is what the word says. We are, if you're called out and you are a child of God, then there's a higher standard of living, right? That's just how it is. And there's a lot of people that don't like that. Well, I want to be the same. You can't be the same as you were. The old saying that we say, if you are what you were, then you ain't. Think about that. It's so true. If you're exactly like you were before you were born again, then you probably weren't born again. It was probably just an emotional thing. If you've done nothing to grow your faith, you may not be born again. If you've been holding down a chair for the last 30, 40 years and call yourself a Christian, you got to wonder. Because Scripture tells us that we are to serve, right? That's what we do. It all and that could be anything too. So if your faith is real, growth is essential. You're going to want to grow. Why wouldn't you? Why would you want to just be stuck? Because then those old thoughts come back. And then next thing you know, you're feeling worthless again, and then you just kind of drop off, like a lot of people do. Even in this ministry, we've seen lots of people come and go. That's just how it is. And it hurts sometimes for us. It's really just, it's troubling sometimes because you pour into people and you think they've got a hold of things and then they just wander off. It's sad to see. But we're praying for them to come back. Because we've all gone through lean times, right? If you haven't experienced a lean time, you probably will. You need to be prepared for that to get you through that time. Sometimes, we know God will never leave us or forsake us, right? But sometimes he lets you stand alone. He's still there. And sometimes I think it's just to remind you who you are without him. Kind of like Will Shirt says, I suck without Jesus. And it's true, we do, right? So I'll start this letter here. This is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter was written about 3 years after 1 Peter, and this was the last thing that was recorded before Peter's death. And this was about 67 AD is when it was written. So I want to read this, and then we'll go back and kind of talk about it as we go here. So starting 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 1, I guess, and then we'll go down to 10. I guess it's 10. Okay, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith that we have. He's writing to the Christians, the believers, right? And he's saying that we have the same faith that they had, and he was there. How about that? That's pretty powerful if you think about it. We have the same faith he did. This faith was given to you because of the justice and the fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He's writing about this section's growing your faith, to grow closer to God, to know him better. So growing in faith, chapter 3, or verse 3 it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He's given us a love letter right here. Right here. He puts people in your path all the time. You just have to be aware of it. He's given us everything we need. We've received all of this by coming to know him. And receive all of this by coming to, oh, I just said that, and the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us a great, precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, it says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. That means we have to do something, right? We have to make the effort because God's not going to do it by himself. He's given this, and he's given us the promises. Now we have our work to do. And he's going to be there to help us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. When you were born again, when you opened your heart to Christ, you were given the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He helps guide you, right? So supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. This is the promise down here. For more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Christ. How about that? Is that great? So I'm going to do a little overview of these seven things, and then I'll come back and talk about the one for the night. So if we back up, it says he's given us everything we need, right? So for a second, I want you to take an inventory, a spiritual inventory of where you're at, okay? Just be thinking about these seven areas to grow in. And I'll read them again. First, it starts with faith. We have faith, amen? Everybody here have faith? All right. So it starts there. I forgot where it was. Hold on one second, please. Supplement your faith with a general provision of moral excellence. Okay, moral excellence is like moral purity. It's your character. The quickest way to figure out your character is what are you like when you're by yourself and there's no one around? How do you act? Because it's easy to fool people, right? We can come here and put on a little charade and we can go hide and do things we're not supposed to be doing. That's not right. We're to have moral excellence. Knowledge, it says add to that. Moral excellence with knowledge. Okay, knowledge is of who God is, and learn his word. Okay, so all these things work together at the same time, okay? It's not like work on moral excellence and then move on to knowledge and then move on to the next one. We work on all of these at one time. Because, well, let's just pick knowledge, for instance. I've met people that have a ton of head knowledge about the Bible. They can spout verses right and left, but they don't have any of the other things. You know, they might be biblically smart, but their heart hasn't been changed. So all these things work together. We learn to grow. We need knowledge, self-control. Be led by your faith, not your feelings. So how many times do you overreact with your feelings instead of the faith that you have? You have the faith that God's going to work this out. He's going to work it out. So let's say in advance, should something arise, let's work it out. Let's talk it out. Let's don't put up the dukes and go after it, right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work out. We're supposed to forgive each other stuff. Work things out. Don't react on your feelings. Feelings can bring it down. Self-control. Well, self-control is being led by your faith, not your feelings. Patient endurance. This is enduring things when times get tough. They're going to. If you haven't experienced that, you're going to. So be prepared. Be prepared. Godliness, our behavior as we represent Christ. We were trying to live like he lived, right? We're supposed to be representatives here. That's the whole idea, to learn to be him while we're here. Brotherly affection. So how well do you treat other Christians? Because if you're not using your feelings, it should be pretty good. We should be supporting one another. We should be lifting each other up. Because this walk is hard. Okay, it would be easier just to cut bait and leave. Like you get mad, you pick up your toys in your sandbox, and you leave. There's been some people do that. I mean, that's what they do. They're using their feelings instead of their faith that they were building while they were here or whatever. Work it out. and in love for everyone. You start with faith and you end with love. Love everyone, even your enemies. And you're like, God, that's hard. I don't like that guy. You don't have to like him. You just have to love him. Figure that one out. There is a difference, right? Because God loves them too. And maybe it's just not their time. Maybe God hasn't touched them yet. We don't give up on them. We keep praying for them. Never stop. I've said it before too. I have several people in my family that I'm praying for. And it's been years. And I keep waiting. And if I'm honest, they've fallen off the prayer list a time or two. Just because I'm tired of repeating myself. I was like, well, maybe God's tired of hearing that one. I'll take it off the list and we'll add somebody else. I'll go back to them. Just being real. Because I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I think everybody knows, right? Everybody have somebody like that? I'm sure we do. Don't give up. That's the thing. We don't give up, right? We're supposed to be representatives. You cannot be a prophet in your own town. I get that. It's like I said last time. You know, sometimes when coach says it, they finally get it. So if the next person comes by and waters what they've already heard, then they might actually get it. Or maybe it's their time. Maybe God's aligning everything up for that time. Don't get it. I don't understand it from time to time. But I know he's in control. And I know what happens when I take control. I just wreck it. You know, because I get it and they don't. Yep. So when you're talking to him, you're just like, man, if you only knew what you don't know. But you don't. So how can I hold it against him? Right? That's the frustrating part. Because I'm just like, come on. You know, it's like, come on. It's not their time. It's not their time. That's the hardest part. Because you're just like, man, if Jesus would just swoop in right now and straighten this mess up, everything would be wonderful. But we keep praying. I think sometimes he just wants us to stay attached. Stay connected to the vine. Keep praying. Keep coming to your groups. Keep worshiping. He's got this. He's got our back. We just have to just hang on. Hang on. So if you're thinking about these things, so how'd you do on your inventory? Have you thought about it? You thought about some of the areas that maybe you need improvement? Probably like all of them, like all the rest of us, right? We could always spend more time in the Word. We could always pray more. We could always worship more, right? We're not condemned because we don't. He's just encouraging us to do that. Because if you do these things, you won't fall away. You won't become stagnant. You will grow. It's a promise. If you do these things in increased numbers, you will grow. You will be able to handle that person that just gets on your last nerve. In a Christian way instead of a worldly way. All right, so we picked, I guess the one I have here is in verse 5, it says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to his promises and supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Some translations say goodness, living the right way, being what we're supposed to be, being who you are even when you're by yourself. We're supposed to be the same everywhere we go, right? We don't want to be, the last thing we want to be is a fake, right? We don't want to be that. Nobody's perfect, and he's not expecting perfection, but we're supposed to be headed in that direction. That's the thing. We're not perfect people, but we're trying. And I think God gives us little blessings along the way when you try. You get little attaboys. You get certain things come together for you. Maybe you get blessed with a job or something, a relationship or whatever it may be. If we're children, then the Father's going to take care of us, right? So moral excellence, doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. You have to practice this stuff. You have to train yourself to stay in the goodness of God. Because this world is just the opposite of moral excellence, right? It's horrible, and it just seems like it's decaying more and more and more and more. And Peter warns us later in this same letter about the watered-down stuff that's going to sound a lot better than the real truth, just like Pete was talking about. There's going to be people come in the end when this thing unfolds, and they're going to start watering it down. They're going to start saying things that are farther from the truth. They sound really good, but we cannot be deceived by that. And if you're studying God's word, you won't. Because you know what it says, not a book, what somebody wrote about the book. When you know what this says, you could argue what that says. That's just his opinion. This is God's word that he left for us. You think about how cool is that for him to do that? How cool to orchestrate all this stuff for us? We certainly don't deserve it, right? It's his grace. It's God's grace. He has called us out. He's chosen us to be his people here on earth. So Peter's telling us that we need to do these things to stand firm when trouble comes, because it's coming. To practice, to train yourself. Moral excellence, being honest. Being honest all the time. Sometimes that's hard, right? He's like, man, maybe a little white lie. What's the difference between a white lie and a real lie? Still a lie, right? Maybe it doesn't hurt as much as the real lie, I guess. I don't know. But being honest pays off, too. You get blessings. I was at a auto parts place the other day, a couple weeks ago, and I found a wallet. Fat boy, too, man. It had cash in it. I could see the credit card. I could barely fold it. It was laying right there on the sidewalk, and I'm thinking... I'm thinking to myself, man, how could you drop that anyway? It's that big. But he did. It was an older guy. His license was in there. So I took it back in there. First thing they said was, thank you for your honesty. But I turned it around on them going, okay, it's on you now to be honest, because I'm giving it to you. My hands are clean. So make sure this guy gets it back, because he will be looking for it. Being respectful. Kids nowadays, I think they've lost that. To respect the elders. You can see this thing changing, and it's changing just like Scripture says it's going to. You know, we scratch our head going, what's wrong with these kids? It's playing out just like it said it would. That's what's happening. Be courageous. Be bold for Christ. Just step out. Step out and say something. It's not easy. But you know the funny thing is? When you do that, when God shows up at the weirdest times, it's pretty cool. When you're in the middle of a divine appointment, it's really cool. And you know it because you can feel the Spirit there, because you're talking to another person, and that you can just feel the presence of God. He's right there. And you're just like, we've had some really good conversations and got to know a lot of people, sowing a lot of seeds. If nothing else, we're sowing the seeds, right? Even if you just cast it out there. That's all we do. Somebody else will water it. Somebody else will cultivate it. God gets the glory. It doesn't matter. I tell you, we've been sowers. We've been waterers. But we've also been there when people come to Christ. And when they do, that's really, really awesome. To be in that moment when somebody gives their heart to Christ, it's amazing. When you see that person, you can just see the hardness and everything just falling off. I mean, that's really cool. Very cool. Moral excellence, be forgiving. We have to forgive even when it's not our fault. Or even if it is our fault, forgive them. Clean up your side of the street. That's all you can do, right? If they want to hold the anger, that's on them. But God's saying, I forgive you. Please forgive me. Being kind. Kind word goes a long way. Even a smile. Jesus loves you. Hold a door for somebody. Do something nice for somebody. That's all part of being a child of God. Integrity. Because that's easy to do some shady deals all over the place, right? Nobody will ever know. You can do a little shady deal. God's watching. God knows. God knows everything you're thinking and everything you're doing. So you're not fooling him. You might fool other people, but he's watching. He knows. He knows what you're up to. Self-sacrifice, doing something for others. How many's done something for others? That's kind of our Christian life. Most of the time, you're doing stuff for others, and you really don't do a whole lot for yourself because you're helping others, right? But I can tell you this. When you do self-sacrificial stuff for people, it leads to good works, right? You're doing it in love to help somebody out. Maybe they don't have the money for the repair or whatever, but you have the skill or you have the network. You just make calls or whatever to help that person out. That's all part of it. And you get blessed by doing that. And it leads to good works. God says, do the good works. Because faith without works is dead, right? James says that. If you have faith, big deal. But if you don't have any works, you got nothing. He's saying your faith is dead. Kind of like being stagnant. Because if you're not reading and you're not growing, then you're going to become stagnant. And you're going to avoid helping people. Or even talking to people for that matter, because you just don't want to hear it. After a while, you just turn cold. And you get to the point you don't really care anymore. It's like, well, God, you know what? My life's pretty good. I don't see anything anymore. I'm just focused on what I do. But that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be eyes wide open to help others. At all capacities, whether it's financially or physically or whatever, emotionally, you know? And I think that's one of the blessings we have at groups is we've seen a lot of healing at the groups. A lot of it. Recovery group. There's been a lot of healing. Been a lot of people get off drugs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's working. It's because we're making the effort. He says, make the effort and you will be blessed for doing it. So why wouldn't we want to try, right? It's not like we're doing it to get something. Because I don't think it would pay off if you're doing it with that kind of attitude. It wouldn't pay off, I don't think. But God is good. He reigns on the unjust too, right? Reigns on the good, reigns on the unjust. So, doing good works. There's so many stories of when you help somebody and you start to learn a little bit about their situation. For one, you can share because they might ask you, why are you even doing this? Believe it or not, God told me to do this, so I'm going to do it for you. I have no problem doing it. And you can take money for it too, because that's the blessing for doing it, right? Doesn't say not to, but you don't have to either. So let's go to Galatians 6:10 real quick. You have that one up there? Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Taking care of your brothers and sisters. Amen. You guys, you get the primo because in this church, we have a lot of, let's say, blue-collar people. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of contractors and things that can do a lot of things. And we love helping the family, right? Especially Randy. He likes to paint on Sundays. So if you guys need something, just call him. No, I'm just kidding. I was like, I'll kill you. Right? But if we keep doing these things, we will get a blessings. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10 real quick. And I like this one too because it says, we are for God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he's planned for us to do a long time ago. It's all part of his plan. And when you're reading God's word, you can kind of figure out what you're supposed to be doing. Have you guys taken the spiritual gifts test? And you kind of figure out where you are on that, what your gifting is? We've all been given some kind of gift. Some people have 3 or 4 gifts. 5 talent people, stuff like that. We need about 20 of those. But God is good because when we work as a family, things get done, right? And God is good. We are his masterpiece. So why wouldn't we want to read his word to get to know him better? Because of the love that he's poured out on us, we'd kind of want to do it in return, wouldn't we? Because he loves us. Think back to the day of your salvation. Probably the wreck that you were the day you gave your life to Christ. It's amazing, isn't it, from where you were to where you are. Don't settle for where you are. Keep growing, because God's got a lot more in store for all of us. All you do is just keep moving. Keep moving. We had a guy on our hockey team that was kind of his chant. Keep it moving forward. Keep it in front of you. Keep going. Keep Christ in front of you and keep going. All right, let's go to Philippians 2, 3, and 4. So don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. At this point in my life, I really don't care when you try to impress me anymore. The only thing that impresses me now is what Christ does. I get excited then. Be humble. I'm the best at that. Think about that, guys. No. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. So don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Okay, the gifts and things, we're not supposed to just take our little faith and stick it in our pocket, okay? God wants us to grow our faith and share our faith with others and do things with others. All right, Colossians 3, 12 through 15. This is a doozy here. Since God chose you to be holy, the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And grateful too. Amen? God is good to us all the time, right? We just have to open our eyes. So I want you guys to think about, if you get a chance, reread this section here, because we're going to dwell on this the next few weeks on each one of these topics here. We're going to break it down a little bit. Each week we'll break the next one down. The next one's knowledge. So Randy will be talking about that. So think about that. Do that inventory I was telling about. Think about these things and do it. Pray. Ask God to help you. Help me grow, God. I want to grow. I want to know you better. I want to do these things. I want to have the ability to love others. I want to love my neighbor, my enemies. I want to love them. Teach me how. Whatever it is for you. But I want to reread verse 8 through 11 here. It says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their sins. We see that a lot of times too. People get to a certain point, they stop. They get comfortable. Eventually that comfort, you're going to drift. You're going to go drift right out the door if you don't. Basically playing church games is what we call it. You might be saved just barely, but are you trying to change? Are you letting God develop your character? You know, you're given your personality, whatever that is, but God develops your character. You can use your personality to develop your character. That makes sense? So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Scripture says never. Now you might go through some lean times, but you won't fall away. If you're studying God's word and you're coming to church and you're coming to groups and things like that and you're adding to your faith, you will never fall away. You're growing closer in the love of God, right? Word says never. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ooh, that's going to be awesome, isn't it? Yeah. When we get there, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in closing, I want to say, make every effort, like it said in the beginning, God's given us everything we need to live a holy life. So it's up to us to make every effort to grow in our faith. Paul says, press on. Forget about the past, press on. Don't drag the past anchor around. That's a heavy one. Just cut the chain and be done with it. What's done is what's done. You can't change it. It's the past. Forget about it. Give it to God and move on. I know that's easier said than done, but just give it to God and just let it be. Amen? So do your inventory, and we'll talk about it next week, where you come up with, how you're feeling about where you are in some of these things. It's no big deal because we're all in different areas, right? Some people have tons of knowledge. Some people are great at loving others. Some people have awesome self-control. But the whole thing is to tie all these together and to grow them all at one time. Because it's like I said earlier, it's not one and then the next. You're working on all these at the same time. Amen? So that's all I have for tonight. Breakfast tomorrow, Barry. Oh, who's coming tomorrow for breakfast? Who's doing breakfast, by the way? Annette and Rich are doing breakfast? Okay. Ooh, casserole and oatmeal, is that what he said? Okay. Breakfast tomorrow at 9 o'clock? All right. All right, Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your written word, Lord God, that you left us, a love note for us, God. Direction for our life. We thank you, Jesus. And I pray that if there's anybody in here tonight who doesn't know you, that they'll come forward, man. They'll just surrender it, Lord. So just ask these things in your mighty name, God. Be with us as we travel home tonight, and just pray for those that are traveling now or maybe sick tonight. So we just thank you again, Lord, for loving us when we don't deserve it. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.